In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst. Come, O lovers of the feasts of the Church, let us rejoice in song and celebrate in faith the memory of the blessed ancestors Joachim and Anna, the honored couple who gave birth to the Holy Virgin, Mother of God for us. Yesterday, the Orthodox Church celebrated the birthday, the nativity of the Most Holy Theotokos and Ever-Virgin Mary. Her celebration is a natural extension of our love for Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, born in the flesh of the Virgin, a love expressed within the family of God, which is Christ's Holy Church on earth and in heaven. And today, we extend our celebration to include the parents of the Most Holy, the grandparents of our Lord Jesus, Saints Joachim and Anna. We hear their names and ask their intercession. It is requested at every dismissal blessing in Orthodox Church services. Their continual mention is a reminder that through their family, God became man, and that he embraced a human family in a real human history as his own. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son through a human birth of the Virgin Mary, who was born of Saints Joachim and Anna. And these facts of life exist in the memory of the Church as part of its family history, its family album, beyond the pages of the Bible. The Church is a living entity with its own family memory. Which is to say, Saints Joachim and Anna are not mentioned in the Scriptures. But the Church, which wrote the New Testament, knows these holy parents as part of its family story. It knows that Saint Joachim was of the tribe of Judah and a descendant of King David. As we know, the Messiah Jesus would come from the lineage of the house of David. We know that Saint Anna was the daughter of Mathan the priest, of the priestly tribe of Levi, reminding us of the great high priesthood of Christ. And Mathan had three daughters, Mary, Zoe, and Anna. This Mary, sister of Saint Anna, was the mother of Salome, one of the holy myrrh-bearing women. Zoe was the mother of Elizabeth, who was the mother of Saint John the Baptist, cousin of our Lord, since St. Elizabeth and the Holy Virgin are cousins. In the remembrance of Saints Joachim and Anna, the Church remembers as well and celebrates holy matrimony, marriage. Here is an icon of faithful marriage. They were married for 50 years before having their only child, Mary the Theotokos. They served God faithfully as a married couple, even when it appeared for a long time that God was withholding the blessing of children from them, which caused them grief and hardship and even ostracism within the Jewish community. Because the Jewish people assumed that they were cursed by God for some secret sin, since they could not bear children. Joachim at one point was even banished from the temple, and his sacrifice was rejected, his offering. But their holy, faithful patience and prayer was rewarded, and they gave birth to she who would give birth to God. This marriage reminds us of the words from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 13, where it says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The marital union, the marital relations of Saints Joachim and Anna were blessed, and likewise in all marriages that are blessed by God. We celebrate the birth of the Theotokos as the dawn of the New Testament of grace. However, even after the coming of grace with the New Covenant, human sexuality remains under the confines of law. It's still a legal question, yes or no, reality. It's yes within marriage and no outside of marriage. It's yes between a man and a woman in marriage. It's no in the sin of perversion by any other combination. Outside of the blessing of the marriage bed, it's the sin of fornication and adultery. Two sins which destroy human marriages and human souls, but which are largely celebrated in our sex-obsessed society. From the scriptures we affirm in 1 Corinthians, it says, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife." And from 1 Thessalonians 4, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." This reference of possessing one's own vessel refers to marriage, according to St. John Chrysostom, where he comments on this passage, "To each man God has assigned a wife. He has set bounds to nature, that of intercourse with one only, with one person only." So there are boundaries, but the marriage bed is blessed. And indeed, there is a more positive view of marital sexuality in Orthodoxy than in the Latin Roman Catholic West. Roman theology teaches that the guilt of original sin, the very guilt of original sin, is transmitted sexually. And so sex, even in marriage, is bad. It spreads the guilt of sin. And its only redeeming characteristic is the production of children, and thus the Roman Catholic obsession with contraception. Orthodoxy, on the other hand, while acknowledging original sin, says but that the baby is not born guilty of original sin, that guilt idea was exclusively Augustine's teaching, which was unknown by the Church Fathers but was law in the Roman Church, and thus comes about the heresy of the Immaculate Conception, by which it said that this conception we celebrate, the parenthood we celebrate of Saints Joachim and Anna, their union, was totally different from everyone before that, and that no guilt of original sin was transmitted, making the Virgin something other than human, different from everyone else in the human race, and one heresy creating another. Orthodoxy takes a more pastoral approach to such questions. It affirms that the Theotokos is the great example, not the great exception. She is one of us, not some superwoman or strange creature. And the Church does not promote contraception, but it challenges the couple to trust in God, as did Saints Joachim and Anna, and that the birth of babies is a matter of God's providence. That which is natural is blessed. And indeed, that marital relations are more than just for having children, but that they strengthen the bond of marriage and prevent temptation, especially for men. But the lesson also today of Saints Joachim and Anna is that holy marriage produces holy children. The atmosphere of marriage affects the souls of offspring. So the church discourages and is opposed to artificial means of fertility, such as in vitro or any other means. As one Orthodox bishop has said, it is very disturbing to take the creation of life out of the warmth of the marital bed and place it in the coldness of a laboratory petri dish. I have an excellent article on the subject of fertility and contraception from an Orthodox perspective, which I can share with anyone who would like to know more on the subject. But finally, brothers and sisters, the love and desire of Saints Joachim and Anna was real and was blessed and was free of sinful passion, and it produced a most holy child who would herself produce the most holy child of all, our Lord and Savior. And we honor their holy and faithful marriage on this day and their beautiful union in marriage. And may we ask their intercessions for all our marriages, holding high their great example to us all, through the prayers of the holy and righteous ancestors of God, Saints Joachim and Anna, and through the prayers of Most Holy Theotokos. May our Lord Jesus Christ have mercy upon us all and save us. Amen.